and Bear Bachmeyer, the clear starting quarterback. So now that that question's been answered, what are the biggest question marks remaining with BYU football before week one? Plus, where is BYU clearly better this year than they were last year? Is another double-digit win season in the cards for the Cougs?
Kelly Papinga gives us an update on BYU's special teams. Who will replace All-American Keelan Marion as the primary kickoff returner? And we continue our position previews as we break down the backers with the trio of Jack Kelly, Isaiah Glasker, and Siale Acera.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. A very happy Thursday, August 21st to all of you. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who at some point may consider throwing his name into the mix for QB1, Jerem Jordan.
I thought they were going to consider that extra year of eligibility COVID medical gray shirt that I had, but alas, no. It is actually, surprisingly on Instagram, there was a BYU player who said he was surprised he wasn't, in the mix here. Sione Moa posted, everyone stop asking me now. QB1, Sione Moa. So congratulations to Sione for being the Instagram starting quarterback. Once there's an AI video of Sione, then perhaps he will be.
This is not a shocker, especially if you were paying attention to the interview I did with Sione about a week ago when I asked him about the potential of warming up the old right arm to play QB. Listen to this.
Pull up my high school, my quarterback clips, you know, my junior and senior year. I got some clips in there. Just pull them up on huddle. You got them. So.
Are you throwing your name in the mix late?
Coach, hey, Coach A-Rod, if you see this, like, if you need a fifth string, like, I'm there. I can roll out. I can on the run and stuff. Just check out the film. It's there. So.
Okay. I would have Parker Kingston throw before I would have Sione. But.
QB6?
Yeah.
Sione?
Exactly. Cole Hagan's like, get in line, Doc. Fun fact about Sione. He is from Victorville, California. Moved to Provo for the last couple years of high school. Got his mission call back to Victorville. He served where he's from.
I remember having a conversation with him about that
On
the cruise.
It's very interesting.
And that is a unique calling.
Hey.
No doubt about
what's
it.
What's that
up,
tag?
Guys?
What's that tag? I'm a missionary.
I know everybody.
I have a message for you.
Well, he's ready for anything, whether it's the missionary service back in his old hometown or maybe to be QB6. We're just excited because football is really close. So rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
We are in it. We have young, good talent.
Isaiah Glasker, Jack Kelly, like just incredible, incredible players.
Is that better than last year?
We're a deeper team each year.
LJ Martin's going to help. Will Farron's going to help. It's everybody.
The quarterback battle is over. It's Bear Bachmeyer's starting position. And that was the question for so long that we kind of forgot about the other questions that might exist.
There are other things to be answered.
In the BYU football conversation.
Not just a quarterback.
So now that it is Bear and the rest, Jerem, what's the biggest question remaining about BYU football that still needs to be answered?
I got a lot of questions still. We have to play half the season before we really get some answers. But what will the offense look like with said freshman quarterback Bear Bachmeyer? That's my kind of top question. I have others, like, we've been asking it. Will the defense be as good as last year? We think they can be. Can BYU be +8 in turnover margin again? Can they have 29 takeaways again? I don't really have too many starter questions. Siale Acera versus Che Bryant Strother is one of the kind of battles there. You'll hear from Siale coming up. Everyone else, I kind of understand who's starting, but I do have some depth pieces like who's tight end 3? Because it looks like Carson Ryan, Kean Need are kind of your top two there.
Who's the fourth defensive tackle?
Who's the fourth defensive tackle is one as well. Keanu Tanavasa, John Tamoy-Peo, Anissa Purcell. Who's the fourth? Justin Kirkland. Well, he's injured right now. Once he's in there, you have your two deep. You're good. How much run will Ace Kafusi and Ephraim Asiata get? Kind of as those other kind of edge backer types. Ace is at a really good camp. We've seen him make several plays there. There's not a ton of questions I have per se. Kick returner is a big one that will be answered coming up later from Kelly Papinga. He talks about the two guys that are in the mix at that position. But those are my main questions. I mean, offensively, when you have a true freshman quarterback, that should dominate the rhetoric is. Okay, now that we know who the guy is, what will that look like?
At the top of my list, after the quarterback question, now that that has been settled, is the following. Can BYU actually produce a 1,000-yard rusher for the first time since 2021? And there's layers to that. Meaning, is the offensive line really
on par with what last year's offensive line was, or better? Is LJ Martin truly ready for the breakout season? Can BYU do it? And by do it, I mean have a 1,000-yard rusher as a Power 4 status member. Can they do that? 2021, I know they played 7 Power 5 teams at the time, but it's not 10 like BYU will face this year. Is it all going to come together? Can Bear Bachmeier be able to rely on the run game and his offensive line so that BYU does have that type of production? I feel like they have to do this, Jerem. If BYU is going to win 8-plus games, I don't see another way that BYU can get to 8-plus wins if they don't have that type of run production to take the pressure off of a true freshman starting quarterback's shoulders.
Specifically a 1,000-yard rusher?
Yes.
What if Sione and LJ both have 750-plus?
I just think you need a horse. I really do. Somebody that Bear can turn around and go, you're my guy. Like,
you want a shadow fax.
Yes. Yes. It's 3rd and 4.
Show them the meaning of haste, LJ.
Or it's 3rd and 3. Like, I want to know that we're going to stay on the field. I'm going to hand the ball off to you. You're going to get those tough yards, and we're going to keep going.
And then Aaron says, it's 4th and 1. That's what we were set up for. Let's go. Because they think about both downs, right?
I know that the combo is still in play with LJ and Sione, but I feel like BYU just needs to have a horse at the front.
I think it's clearly LJ, right? Like, that's not in question.
No.
You just want to see the yards.
Yes.
You want to see the
fourth
digit.
I want to know that the offensive line is good, like that they can do this. Teams are going to know because BYU has a true freshman that BYU may be, especially early in the season, relying heavily on that part of the game. Can they still go out and do it?
And Hank, man, I keep calling him Hank. Bear. Bear is going to be heavily involved in that. Aaron told us that this week. Aaron Roderick said he is a very good rusher. We're going to use him in the run game. Now, it is risky because you run your guy. You know, he gets hit, whatever. But he's too good at it. You're not going to just keep him in the pocket.
It needs to be part of his
absolutely.
Game.
Absolutely. Now, something that Bear is going to need to do that Jake did really well, and I talked to one offensive lineman this week who told me, hey, you know what Jake was really, really good at? His pocket awareness. He would step up in the pocket. He would shift. He would move. He would get the throw off in certain lanes. That takes some time to sort of become acquainted with that. And, you know, Bear was on that yellow bus last year. Enrolled early at Stanford. He's done everything to prepare himself for this moment that he could. He was, who was it, Joe Wheat yesterday said, how in-depth is Kalani Sitake's scouting? He put BYU starting quarterback against not the first opponent, but the second opponent. Then they transferred in just to have an advantage there. That's crazy preparation. I'm excited to watch Bear's development in that space. And you're right. There's nothing more demoralizing in football than a dominant run game. Because if it's 3rd and short, which would be 3rd and 3 or shorter, and just knowing the defense going, we're probably not stopping this. Hopefully we do. And BYU just, bam, down your throat, first down.
I love that concept and that idea.
And LJ is very good in that space. Like we've talked about, he hopefully will get back to kind of home run hitter status. But he is just lacing singles and doubles for BYU, if you will, in the run game. I think he's really good at finding hole, getting the yards, moving the chains.
Can he stay healthy enough?
That's the key to 1,000.
To be the guy that carries the ball 20 times a game.
Spence, if he plays 12 games, I don't see any way he's not a 1,000-yard rusher.
It has to happen.
It will happen
for BYU to have sustained success on offense and to win 8-plus. They've got to have their horse at running back to help Bear.
Let's do your weird math thing. So, 12 games, 1,000 yards. How many yards per game does he need?
Okay, so that would be...
If you've missed it, Spencer is, like, oddly really good at these obscure math stuff.
Okay, so...
I've got the number.
It's between 82 and 83, isn't it?
Good gosh. 83.3.
Yeah.
You're the man. You're the man.
83.3 yards.
83.3.
Okay.
He can do that. Above 83.
BYU can, yes. BYU can do this.
Yeah.
To average 83.3 or more yards per game.
I'm actually more concerned about, like, LJ, Sione, Bear. What does that trio look like in the run game? Sure, I would like 1,000. But if you told me that LJ has 900, Sione has 600, and Bear has 500 non-sack yards, let's go.
And I know some BYU fans are saying, well, BYU didn't have anything close to a 1,000-yard rusher last year, and they played 5 running backs, and it still worked out to 11-2. They didn't have a true freshman starting quarterback. I just feel like you have to rely more on the run game.
There's a lean to the
run. Early in the season, especially.
That's a great point. Okay, where do you believe BYU football will be better this year than they were last year? Because last year was awesome in a lot of ways.
Okay, number one, I think BYU, there's no way that they don't have a better third down conversion percentage. It was so bad last year. And I know the fourth down was really good. One of the best in the country.
Third down was 37.3%, which was 97th.
Hand it off to LJ on third and short, or Bear gets some tough yards. They're going to be better converting third downs. They're going to be in more third and short situations.
Well, increase your success rate. So what you're doing on first and second down to prepare you for third down.
Yes.
They were 52nd in success rate.
And that's okay. BYU can be better. I believe they will be better there, which leads to better third down conversion percentage. I don't want BYU to have to rely so much on the fourth down play.
Although, BYU was
one of the best in the country.
47%, 33rd in fourth downs.
Yes. So, I know. It's nuanced. I just want that now. I don't want them to have to rely on fourth down.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, here we go again. We're on the, you know, the 47-yard line, fourth and one and a half.
No man's land. Yeah.
Okay.
When you have a good defense, though, you're not a skirt. Like that affects Aaron Roderick's play calling.
Okay. Secondly, I don't see any way the BYU doesn't have better production in the receiving category from the tight ends. It was so dismal last year.
To me, it's pretty easy to top that.
Yes.
Matava Tase was catching touchdown passes, and that was kind of it.
How many catches combined did the tight ends have last year? 31. All of the tight ends combined. 31 catches. 290 yards total?
31 catches. That was four games for Gordon Hudson. That was four games for Dennis Pitta.
290 total yards receiving for the entire season.
We're hoping Carson Ryan hits that in game five. Here's what I'm hoping for Carson. I'm hoping he's a kind of 30 catches, 400 to 500 yards guy, 4 or 5 touchdowns. That's the number.
I love it.
Those are the numbers for just for him, not for the group, just for him.
22 yards per game on average. It's one catch for Dennis Pitta or Gordon Hudson or Johnny Harlene.
I love your live math, dude. It's so good. The tight ends. Kian Need comes over from New Mexico State. And then it's kind of TBD. You got a bunch of dudes. Noah Moyaki could be your number three. You know, Ethan Erickson, when he gets healthy, maybe he's not the number three. You got some guys that have been around in that room, and now a little younger. You brought in two transfers. They're going to step in right away. So I like that. Any others?
No, I'll add this. Four touchdowns from the group isn't great either. It didn't really hurt BYU last year. I mean, the tight end, as we discussed, was effective at times in the red zone, Matava Tase specifically. But I would like to see that number at least doubled. Like, all of those numbers at least doubled. 62 catches. How about 44 yards per game from the tight ends? And 8 touchdowns. Like,
are there too many good receivers for that to realistically happen?
I don't think so.
Like, shouldn't Chase Roberts get...
More?
More?
More!
Who is it? Wong in Endgame? You wanted more? Yes, we want more for Chase Roberts.
We want more for Chase.
Ant-Man burst through.
But it was so... it was so bad for the tight end group specifically. I don't see any way that's not better.
And who's that coming down the tracks? There's a certain legit tight end in St. George that's going to change all of those numbers in a couple years after admission.
Yes.
I can't wait for that guy. Can't say his name
Unnamed
yet.
Heroes.
Unnamed amazing guy. who in the first quarter of his first high school game, by the way, absolutely destroyed the competition.
I love it. Okay, where are they going to be better, Jeremy?
Stop the run. They're going to stop the run better. And his name is Keanu Tanuvasa. Yeah. They were 87th in defensive success rate. Yards per carry, they were 44th. Sacks and TFLs, of course. You want more. It's not everything. You'll hear from Kelly Papinga, his opinion on sacks, kind of that number coming up later.
I'm glad you brought that up.
That's one. Two, 21 giveaways. Get that down just a little bit. That was a little high. Get that to 16.
Fewer interceptions.
And then completion percentage. 57% as a team. No, they can go low to mid-60s. Why not? Make good throws. Be explosive. Take risks. But... calculated risks, right? 57%. Come on.
Can BYU stop the run better? That was an honorable mention for me.
Can they
stop the run?
Keanu will change that by himself, dude. He is that good.
You want to know what he is capable of? And you and I think David Nixon and I were talking about this maybe last week. you go back and you watch him play for Utah against BYU.
Bro, I was like happily annoyed at how awesome he was.
Keanu, stop. Get out of the backfield, man.
They twisted him into the edge where he's batting down balls. He's in the backfield.
Like, BYU couldn't do anything for the longest time.
He could have told you if LJ Martin had bad breath or not. Like, he was familiar. He was back there. It was annoying how good he was, but happily annoying because now he's wearing blue.
Yes. Yes. Our question of the day, where do you believe BYU football will be better this year than they were last season?
We didn't say takeaways because 29 was a lot. I'm open for 25 plus. That would be amazing.
Yeah, you want the way too hot take?
They're going to have 30!
More!
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
They're going to try, though. They're going to try.
Chris Manning on X says, gotta be the pass rush on defense.
Okay.
There is too much talent in the room not to see better sack numbers.
Okay, so Logan Latuhi, Bode Schoonover, Biliami Puha, Orion Maile Kafusi, Hunter Clegg, Tosili Akana. These are kind of some of your top ends that could be in the mix, specifically trying to get there.
And you watch those linebackers, specifically Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasker, get pushed up to the front and be rushing off the edge.
Spying the quarterback.
Yes, don't be surprised to see their sack numbers, or at least their chaos numbers, inflated this season.
Because if they get a pick off a play where they didn't get a sack, I'm okay with that. That's better.
It's better than a sack.
It's better.
We don't have to wait that much longer.
Nope.
It's maybe the best news of the day. In fact, how many days?
Countdown to the Viking.
9 days away. Single digits.
9 days away.
A Jim McMansworth. Let's go. ESPN's Heather Dennis reported yesterday that the College Football Playoff Selection Committee will be using more enhanced metrics in the selection process this season, namely a new metric called record strength. Mm. They literally called one strength of record last year. Okay. What do you make of this?
One, how the heck is record strength different than strength of record?
We're getting a little participle, preposition-y up in here.
It's a new stat, or do we just change a word
in the through, phrasing? Of, by, around?
Jeremiah, I am slightly encouraged because it feels like they're making an effort to look at something that will better delineate which teams are actually better than others and help them rank them more fairly. But I feel like we could do better than this. We could do better than record strength. Like, what? I just want to know what goes into it. Like, what are the specifics? I know they lay it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Give me more. I need more.
You want, like, the mathematical, what's the equation or whatever?
Yes.
Okay, not knowing that.
Explain the equation. I only want to read it once, but at least I want to understand it really well at least once.
I didn't read it once at BYU in my class, so I'm not reading it now. Record strength. Extra credit for beating quality teams. Less penalty for losses versus tough opponents. Less credit for beating lesser teams.
But what is a good team? That's what I'm saying.
What metrics?
Is a good team?
By what metrics?
What's a good loss?
This does scream SEC Big Ten, like, let's figure out how we get SMU out and Ole Miss or South Carolina or Alabama in last year. That's what that feels like.
Yeah, tell me what a good team is.
That's not good for non-Big Ten SEC teams. Because let's say this year BYU's in the mix and Stanford isn't that good, which is expected. Yep. They're expected to be kind of bad, actually. Then what? Last year BYU had the SMU win and they still didn't get into the playoff.
Boo.
So, yeah, I mean, I would love more of a men's basketball type situation where we know the metrics that are on the team sheet.
And give me a net ranking kind of for understand. Football. Give me a net ranking.
Granted, I don't know what goes into Sagarin. I just know what Sagarin rating is. So I'm not sure I need, like, the explanation. Just give me a few metrics that are a little different that you approve.
Even if you combined, like, the top five, what you view most effective metrics into, like, a power rank, fine. And then that's the one that's, like, the net sorting tool, fine.
I'm okay having them spread out so I can sort of be like, well, they're not good at this, but they're good at this.
I need more. Like, it's so vague. Like, well, you'll be rewarded for a good win, and you won't be as penalized for a loss against a good team. What is a good win and what is a good loss?
Last year it was qualifies? Like Alabama, why'd you lose to Vanderbilt?
That was a bad loss at the end of it.
Yeah.
It was not. I know Vanderbilt
Ole Miss,
was bad.
Was it Kentucky? I'm trying to remember. Yeah, there were issues there. For BYU, frankly, it was don't lose to Kansas.
Yes. Yeah.
If BYU doesn't lose to Kansas,
they're in.
They might be an at-large even if they lose the Big 12.
They're in the Big 12 championship game.
And then
sure.
They still might be an at-large.
I need more explanation as to the,
you wanted more?
The math that goes into determining what an actual good team is for the committee.
I thought it was just the eye test, Spence. Join us tomorrow for BYU Sports Nation's 2025 BYU football season preview show featuring roster breakdown sound from coaches and players. Our predictions for the season tomorrow, noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
You know who produced the eye test probably? Larry Scott. Okay? Get it out of there! Up next, who will replace All-American kick returner Keelan Marion this season? Oh, loaded question. Kelly Papinga gives us the inside scoop. As he goes one-on-one with Jerem, this is BYU Sports Nation.
Onside, and it gets recovered, and it's going the other way! Where there's a will, there is a way! Parker Kingston and the Cougars, can you believe that?
You better believe it, because it happened. We are live in Studio B. This is also happening. With your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play, I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan.
Kelly Papinga is BYU Special Teams Coordinator and Defensive Ends Coach. He has both those groups ready to go. The ends are ready to create some havoc, and the Special Teams hopes to have another great season. But who will replace Keelan Marion at kick returner? That and more answered as K-Pop is on BYU Sports Nation.
All right, Kelly, when I say training camp's over, what comes to mind?
Game one is on its way, Portland State. And, just excited to play some football finally.
What's the most exciting part about the preparation that goes into that?
I just love the preparation for the game is, to me, the most important part. The scheming and, being able to help our players get put in the right positions, that's what's fun as a coach. And then just see it all come to life once you show up on a Saturday. That's what gets me, up every morning and gets me, fired up to show up to work hard for these guys and these coaches and this program is just the opportunity to help guys be put in positions to be successful. And the more times we can do that, obviously the more success we're going to have. So excited how, this game plan is all going to come together.
What are you seeing from the defense that gets you excited about what they're going to do this year?
Yeah, man, we look fast. We've played physical. I think our guys are comfortable in the scheme. I think they feel very good in the scheme that we've had now for 3 years under Coach Hill. A lot of these guys have played a lot of football in this scheme. So, just excited to see that experience and all that, be put on the field on a Saturday is going to be fun to watch. I think, we got flashes of that last year, play some good defense. But I think if we put everything together, I think we can be really, really good. But it's just going to depend on our guys and being able to stay humble and hungry, like we've talked about, be consistent, stay healthy. That's a big part of football. But, we've been able to do that pretty good during the season or during fall camp. Just excited to see the guys like Lasker and Jack Kelly and Logan Lutui and these guys that have played a lot of football for us be able to just, have another great year on their belt and have them leave BYU with a great experience and playing some great dominant defense.
Are you still coaching the edge rushers? Is that the assignment?
Yeah, still coaching the ends. And it's divided up a little bit now, but still got the main edge guys. And, it's been good. It's been good to see these younger, talented guys step up in fall camp. Hunter Clegg, Orion, Miley Kafusi, Tassili Akana, Ephraim Asiata. There's a bunch of them. And they're young. We're very
–
yeah, Vilpuha. We're young. We're talented. Mm-hmm. We're very athletic. I'm excited to see these guys. They've done some really awesome stuff during camp and excited to see the rest of Cougar Nation see what these guys can do.
Sometimes all people notice for them is, maybe they batted a ball down or they got a sack or not. What is the role of the ends on this defense?
Yeah, simple. Two things. Set the edge in the run game and get after the quarterback. That's all we got to do. And so that's at the end of the day, guys like Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasker and combine that with, the edge guys. And then, we got some interior guys too as well that I think can get after the quarterback. But at the end of the day, our job is to make sure the ball does not get outside of us in the run game. And then when the quarterback wants to drop back and pass, we make his life miserable. And, losing a guy like Batty, one of the top players in the Big 12 last year getting after the quarterback really the past 2 years. So being able to replace him, excited to see who's going to step up.
Talk to me about special teams. Obviously, Will Fairness back. That's great. Who's his primary backup at the moment?
Yeah, Matthias Dunn will be his backup, and has been a great backup the past couple seasons. And so look forward to Will just continue to be the guy that he is, super consistent, great leader, Just the same guy all the time, comes out to work, the same guy, doesn't let anything, you know, impact him or affect him. He doesn't live in the past, so, you know, everybody wants to talk to him to things, you know, things that happened last year, but Will's moved on from that, and he's ready for a great year and to do even better things. And then, you know, Sam Vandahar is doing a great job at punter, and so is so Fuller. Schertz is a new punter for us who's going to be exceptional for us one day. Very, very good talent that I'm excited about. And then our return game I feel very good about as well. We got some guys back there with Parker Kingston and Cody Hagan and Don McKenzie. And I know I'm probably forgetting one there, but there's a handful of guys that we've had that we have this year that I don't think we've had the depth that we have now. Mm-hmm. So it'll be fun to see who steps up.
And primarily those guys are speedsters that can get forward?
There's our team's speed, and I've told this to all of our coaches, our team's speed is as good as any team I've ever been on at BYU. Right. And I thought last year's team was probably the best. This year's team has outdone that. So each year, hopefully we keep, you know, outdoing the year before, but we have very good team speed at corner, at safety, you know, receivers, running backs. I feel good about our team speed that we'll be able to match up well with the Big 12, but also be able to create some mismatch problems, hopefully in the return game where – you know, there's some special teams coordinators at nighttime and early in the morning stressing out, worried about these returners, just like I do for their guys, right? Yep. So hopefully, you know, we get that, you know, early in the season where they see these guys get big returns. And, you know, obviously Parker finished the season really well last year at the Colorado game. So hopefully they're watching those games and like, holy, you know what? We gotta stop this Parker Kingston guy. And so we're excited to see what he can do.
It was an incredible special teams year. What did you like the most? Because it felt like in any given moment something could happen.
I liked that every team was good. Like every phase of special teams did something special last year. And, you know, sometimes you'll have a really good kickoff team or a really good kickoff return team or whatever it may be. But it seemed like last year in the punt return team, I really challenged and leading up in the bowl game, like the punt return team would have been the team all season that really hadn't done much. Because I really don't count the Parker, Kansas State, because that was the defense was out there. That was safe punt. That was just one of the freakiest things I've ever
That's
seen.
That's why Glasgow's running ahead of Parker.
Exactly. So I didn't really count that for the punt return team. That was more of a defensive play. But I really challenged the punt return team going into the Colorado game. Like, hey, you're the one team this year that has not made a big splash, and we need to do it. And, you know, he ends up with 90-something, I think, return yards in that game on punt, one that goes for a touchdown. And I think we basically have everybody back on that team, on that punt return team that's back for this season. So just excited to see that team continue to grow. I feel very good about our punt team. Our kickoff team, almost everybody's back. Kickoff return, we lost our returner, but I feel like we have pretty much everybody back besides that one guy. And, you know, and Parker's done it before. Cody Hagan's looked good and Don McKenzie. So I feel very good. Now it's just showing up and going to do our part, right? It's all, you know, I don't want to hype everybody up, but I just, you know, we have experience. And when you have experience and guys that care, they have a very big give a care factor, like that means a lot. And usually sometimes in special teams, you find guys or find teams that just don't care about special teams. And then you just become very mediocre, but this team cares a lot about it.
It changed a bunch of games. It won games, which is awesome. I wanted to ask you about Garrison Grimes is the new starting long snapper, 3-year starter at Baylor, obviously Jeff's kid, which is awesome. He's one of the most Jack Long snappers I've ever seen. And Ty Smith comes over from Boise State, Tyson Smith's kid who played at BYU.
Yeah, so just I feel very good about those guys. Obviously losing, you know, a guy in the transfer portal, we were a little nervous of who we would be able to get. But, you know, Garrison Grimes, you know, experience, all Big 12 player. He won a Big 12 championship. He knows how to win.
Unbelievable voice, by the way. I wish I had his deep and rich.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, comes from a football family. Yep. And he loves the game, and, you know, he has aspirations to play at the next level, and he just fit right in with our team. And, you know, went to high school here at American Fork and is kind of coming home to finish his college career, which is pretty cool. And then Ty Smith, who was a really good player I liked out of high school. But at the time, I only could take one guy, and I took Cannon Skidmore. And really, Ty was my second.
And Cannon went on a mission.
Went on a mission. And then, you know, Ty ends up getting in the portal and decides to come here to BYU. And so it ended up all working out. But he's going to be a really good one for us in the future too as well. So I feel very good at that position. And just we have good depth. When you have good depth, that usually turns into good things. So hopefully I don't screw it up. I put them in the right positions to be successful. So,
well, last year was unbelievable. And well, you're coaching on the defense and the special teams. We're excited about game one, Portland State. Best of luck in the preparation coming up August 30th.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Great stuff. We learned some things there in that interview.
Okay, Cody Hagan and Dominic McKenzie are the kickoff return possibility players replacing Keelan Marion. A lot of speed there.
Yeah, I thought maybe Parker Kingston would do double duty and be placed on kickoff return. But
I've not heard his name with kick return at all.
So when Keelan left, I thought, oh, it was just a natural thought process of, well, Parker's so dynamic in the return game, maybe they throw him into the kickoff team. But no.
Tiger Bachmeier, I know people are interested in that. Yeah. He's more of a punt returner. His kickoff return numbers weren't good, actually. His punt return numbers were good. I would say he's probably the backup to Parker at punt return. But when it comes to kickoff, speed kills.
And Cody Hagan, is that. I think a lot of people don't understand just how fast Cody Hagan is.
He won the 100 and 200 as a junior. And then he almost won both again, but he stumbled out of the gates. And then he took second.
Like fastest in the state of Utah.
That
was a junior in high school.
That kid's lightning fast. Remember, like, it was like before their missions 3 years ago, we said, hey, look at the Utah State Championships. You had all these signees from BYU football. Speed, baby! Let's go. Watch Kelly Papenga, who you just saw a moment ago, with the other coordinators, Jay Hill, Aaron Roderick, on Coordinator's Corner. Season debut of one of the best shows we can offer you. Monday, 2 Eastern, on the BYU TV app.
After the break, the Cougars return to the practice field today and open up official preparation for Portland State. Details on that and more in today's headlines on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store. Official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. And these are your headlines.
BYU football returns to the practice field today. Specific prep for Portland State begins just 9 days away. Portland State opens their season Saturday against Tarleton State at 4:30 Eastern on the Deuce, ESPN2, national TV. You can watch it.
Let's hope the Pilots are 1-0 coming into Provo, Jerem. Makes that game a lot bigger.
The Vikings?
yeah. That's right. Not the Pilots. The Vikings.
Wrong W. Listen. Non-WCC team.
It tells you, in a way.
It's not game week yet.
How I feel about the schools in Portland.
How dare you? I'm offended.
Am I overlooking them? Probably. I'm messing up the mascot. Yeah, I'm overlooking him a little bit. ESPN's Heather Dinitz reported yesterday the College Football Playoff Selection Committee will be using more enhanced metrics in the selection process this season. We discussed it earlier in the show. If you missed it, here you go. The new metric will use, quote, record strength, which rewards teams for beating tougher opponents and minimizes the impact of losing to the best teams. The first of 6 playoff rankings will be revealed on November 4th.
Maybe it's record strength. We didn't get the memo there. Daniel Schneeman, 2-for-4, 2 singles, and a Guardians 3-2 loss to the Diamondbacks yesterday.
Former BYU basketball point guard Brandon Averett signed a contract with Njarðvík of the Icelandic Subway League, top pro-level basketball
league. Eat fresh!
In Iceland. Averett most recently played in Luxembourg. Congratulations,
nice,
to Brandon.
Nice, that's great. Courtney Wayman advanced to the steeplechase final in the Diamond League, which is one of the world's premier track and field competitions. And in the same competition, Carmen Alder won bronze in the 1500 meter, representing Ecuador. Congratulations.
We continue with this program. And after the break, that was for you, Jerem.
Thanks.
Interviews with all 3 of BYU's expected starting linebackers, Jack Kelly, Isaiah Glasker, and probably Ciala Acera. Can they replicate 2024's dominance of the position? This is BYUSN. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Studio B. He is Jerem Jordan, and I am Spencer Linton. Shout out to Portland and Portland State. We love the Pilots and the Vikings.
Lots of Portland schools.
On that note, it's time to discuss the linebackers that will be facing those Vikings of Portland State on August 30th, beginning with Jack Kelly. Here's my one-on-one on where he feels like BYU has improved the most in training camp, and do they really think that they could be better than they were last season? Jack Kelly on BYU Sports Nation.
Jack, today marks the official final day of training camp, and you turn your attention to Portland State later this week. But as you look back on everything that happened in the training camp portion of things for BYU football, where do you feel like this team improved and progressed the most?
I think the knowledge of the playbook, even the older guys being able to teach it to the younger guys, helps us learn and grow from previous mistakes that we have made. And then the young guys really buying into the culture and just everything. They've really picked up the playbook and are making plays now.
Where do you feel like the defense specifically has gotten better in the last 3 weeks?
I'd say being assignment sound. The first couple of weeks we were making some mistakes, but now everyone's knowing their assignment, playing fast, playing with the right technique, and I think everyone's playing at a super high level.
We keep hearing the idea of players like you and Isaiah Glasker floated out there as moving up to the line, rushing off the edge. What kind of wrinkles are we going to see from you and Glasker and maybe some of the other linebackers as BYU works through their different defensive approach?
Not sure 100%. Obviously, Coach Hill is a brilliant mind, and he does a lot of great things, so he's going to be able to scheme some things up for us and for other guys on this defense. We got a lot of players around me, Glasker, that play at a high level, so it's going to be a great year for defense.
In that linebacker room, Ciale Acera and Che Bryant Strother are doing some nice work in the middle. What are you seeing from those two guys? We'll start with Ciale.
Ciale's a big physical body. He's super fast. He understands the assignment. He's been here for like 3 years, so he's got some reps in games. He's continued to learn the playbook and be able to communicate with all of us, and I think it's helped him play at a higher level.
And then Che, what makes him a unique linebacker?
I think anyone who knows our defensive playbook knows this playbook's hard to learn in a year, so he has another year under his belt. So now he's fully understanding and grasping all the concepts that we have. So I think he's playing at a super high level. He's really athletic, super fast, and he can hit. So it's going to be a good battle between them.
What type of challenge are we talking about with the expanded version of the playbook under Jay Hill in his third year as defensive coordinator?
I don't know. He does a lot of different things, so it's going to be new for us too. He game plans every week and we have new plays, so it's awesome to see how he works and just the different things he comes out with, and it always ends up working on game day.
You've had a unique perspective watching the quarterback battle unfold. It's now been given to Bear Bachmeyer. So from your defensive standpoint, what type of quarterback is Bear?
He's a dual threat for sure. He's a deceptive athlete. He's fast. He's big. Obviously, I think he's like 220 pounds, something like that. So he's going to be able to take some hits. But he's also really good in the pocket. He's been throwing some good balls. And you just look back on some of the coverages, and you're like, oh, that's great coverage. But he still finds a way to fit the ball into a tight window. So he's Mr. Do-It-All right now, and he's playing at a high level.
What's he like to wrap up with that big physical frame?
We haven't been able to do that. Obviously, quarterbacks.
That was a trick question.
Quarterbacks in practice are a no-go.
You understood the assignment for sure. What's it like just visibly to see number 47 across the way when you're like, wait a second, it's a linebacker number. Why is he wearing 47? What's that like for you visually?
I think it's awesome. I mean, if you look at me and Glasker and Ace and some of the LBs, we have some numbers that aren't typical linebacker numbers. So I think it's cool to like stick by like a family number, whatever his meaning is behind that, and just run with it. And playing at a high level, it'll be cool to see him starting game one with 47 at QB.
You've done plenty of game preparation and you've started several college football seasons. So now that this is your last go around, what do you feel like you're going to try and do differently to maximize this, your senior season, and get ready for game number one?
I think just understand the game plan even better, know what all of our DBs, D-line, everyone's doing so that I can play at an even higher level. Just certain fits in different run schemes, pass schemes, I think it's going to help me play at a higher level. Just be able to help those around me play at a high level as well.
You bring that tenacity certainly to the games. Portland State is, relatively speaking, right around the corner. What type of opportunity do you feel like BYU football has, not just in that game, but in this next Big 12 season?
I think we have the opportunity to showcase who we are. I think we all know what type of team we are, and we've seen throughout camp how much better we've gotten. And so I think we're really just looking forward to the opportunity to play against someone else, not just offense versus defense, defense versus offense. So we're excited to really showcase our abilities and just go out there and ball.
Jack, we appreciate the time. Always great to talk to you. And if you dare challenge him in cornhole, in card games, in spike ball, then – listen, all bets are off, my friend. Good luck out there in all capacities.
Thank you so much.
Competitive dude is Jack Kelly. Also competitive on the other side of the linebacker room and on the side of the field is Isaiah Glasker. Here's my one-on-one with Isaiah as BYU wraps up training camp.
Isaiah, you and I were just talking a moment before we pushed record about how you've been through the drill and through the buildup and the rigors of training camp several times. So what makes this year's training camp a little bit different than the ones you've been involved in previously?
Really just focus on the details. I feel like coming this year, it's like I'm going to be a redshirt junior, and it's like now kind of know the playbook, how really everything goes. So it's not you can really play fast and just keep learning, really just about the other guys. So
what makes you most excited about the BYU defense in 2025?
Really just how fast we can play. I feel like our DBs, our front seven, it's like the way we're playing right now, I'm really excited to see what we can do this year. So,
What do you envision for your role? Because we keep hearing about Jay Hill and how he's using the back seven, the linebacker specifically, in different ways. So I know you don't want to reveal all the secrets, but what differences and maybe wrinkles are we going to see from you in the defense?
Probably a little bit more leadership. I feel like kind of controlling the defense, hopefully. But and mostly just I feel like we play as a defense, we play off of each other. So everybody makes a big play. It's like all of us. I don't know. It's kind of just feeds off of each other. So.
How do you feel about the idea of rushing off the edge and spending some time maybe on the defensive line?
I'm excited for it just because we got great coaches, especially Coach Pulha, and then working with Coach Chad. He's big with the cross chop and, like, just on a learn just all hands. So it's like I'm excited to see or use some of the tools in my bag right now this year or so.
Of your teammates on the defensive side of the ball, who, if anyone, maybe surprised you with how good they were or how much progress they made?
I would say Evan Johnson. I said, watching this dude out here, yeah, he's a dog for sure. So I'm excited to see what he can do.
The middle linebacker spot is one that's been hotly contested between Ciala Ecera and Che Bryant Strother. Jay Hill said both are going to play, like regardless of who starts, a lot of those guys are going to play a lot. So what have you enjoyed watching at that middle linebacker position with those two guys?
Really just the competition. I feel like me being inside, I get a little bit of both, so I get to – play with Che and then play with Ciala. It's fun to see the different mix-ups, the type of guys they are. So,
Fun for you, I'm sure, to watch the quarterback battle develop and see all three of those guys in Trayson and McKay and Bear battle it out. Ultimately, it is Bear that's the starting quarterback. So what do you feel like makes him the guy that's going to help BYU win football games?
I feel like, honestly, just the swagger that he brings. I feel like every single day he's always chirping, talking trash, and it's like you don't really get a lot of quarterbacks that do that. And it's just like the swag that he brings, I love it, especially as a defensive player. It just kind of brings the juice. So,
your buddy Jack Kelly made a great point because he said players like me and Isaiah, we have non-traditional linebacker numbers, but then Bear wears a traditional linebacker number of 47. So what's that like to just visually see on the field?
Honestly, it's like I look back there and it's like I feel like I'm playing against a fullback, playing quarterback, but he can throw the ball. So I don't know. I've never seen anything like it, but I think it's interesting, like very cool. So
BYU football in Portland State will line it up on August 30th. Between today and game number one, what has to happen for you to feel fully confident and ready that you're going to go out and play your best football?
Really just the scheme. I feel like Jay Hill always gets us ready, and I'm not too worried about being ready just because I know he'll have a great scheme set up for us, and I'm just excited to see what that is. So, I don't know, even though next week we got our first game and everything, but it's – I don't know, I love these defensive boys, and I'm excited to see really what we can do. So,
what did you learn from last year's 11-2 season that makes you feel confident that you can go out and prove that that wasn't just a flash in the pan, it wasn't just a kind of a one-time thing for BYU football?
I would say really just the doubts. I feel like a lot of people doubt us, and I don't know, it makes our team, like, drives our team a little bit more, and especially us going 11-2 and then sadly losing Jagus, who is my guy, but I don't know. I feel like ever since that, they're still doubting us, and we just kind of got to show them, like Kalani says. So,
Isaiah, we appreciate the time, man. Keep up the great work.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Jack Kelly, Isaiah Glasker, and now last but not least, aspiring middle linebacker number one, Ciala Ecera.
The end of training camp. How does that sound, Ciala?
It sounds great. It just means that we're closer to game day, you know, and I'm excited.
The end of the practice, there was a lot of hooting and hollering. What was the conversation like there? Was it the official close of the camp and you guys got excited, or what was it?
Yeah, that too, but Emerson just got his mission call to Brazil.
So. Let's go! What, yeah, did you hear where? Do you remember?
I don't remember where, but yeah, it's he's heading to Brazil, so I'm excited for him, man. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Hey, I hope it's my mission, man. That'd be awesome. How's training camp been for you?
It's been amazing, you know, just being out here with the brothers, you know, our whole team, just getting better every day. It's been good.
Where have you been getting better the most?
I feel like just learning our playbook, man. We have a lot of plays, a lot of little intricacies that we have within our defense that I know I've been getting down better and better every day, just under the coaching of Coach Anna and Coach Hill.
How excited are you for the opportunity to get some more playing time this year?
I'm very excited. I can't wait. Can't wait to be on that field. It's one of my dreams, you know, and I've been living it so far, and it's can't think of a better place to be.
When did you first dream about it? Because you're a kid that's been close to the program and nearby, and now you get a chance.
Ever since I went to my first BYU game. So it's been.
When was that?
Shoot, I think I was. I was nine. And so I went to my first game. I can't remember who it was. I just remember the atmosphere, and that's been like engraved into my head. And just being able to actually be on the field instead of in the stands is even a greater blessing. Like, all glory to God. You know, He's put me in this position.
It's been a good battle with you and Che Brant Struther at middle linebacker. What's that competition been like for a lot of snaps for the both of you?
It's been good. You know, we just got to compete. You know, the best man's going to be on the field at the end of the day. And, you know, we're also in a brotherhood, but we also know that with each other, we also have to compete for that spot. And so at the end of the day, you know, we're still brothers, you know, but it's been good just competing. You know, we make each other better in a sense of out at practice trying to give it our all.
What's it like knowing you look to one side, you go, oh, there's Jack Kelly. Oh, there's Isaiah Glasker. Like, these are potential future, and you hope for yourself as well, NFL dudes making plays out there.
Yeah, it's a sense of security. You know, they're going to do their job. I'm going to do my job. And at the end of the day, that we know the defense well enough that I don't have to, like, worry that they're not going to do what they're going to do.
So there's trust.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Describe to me what it's like to play in a Jay Hill-style defense, because it seems like a lot of people say, we know what's coming, and then he'll blitz anybody from anywhere.
Yes. There's so much. We have a lot of plays. There's a lot of in and outs of the defense, and so just being able to be in there, once you get it, once you understand the scheme, it's so much fun to play in. He gives all of us chances to make plays, you know, and everyone can blitz from anywhere. And so just once you have the aspect down, if you trust the defense and you trust the coaches, then we're able to play fast. And then at the end of the day, it's all fun and games, you know. It's like it's something that I can't explain to people who haven't played football before, you know, being on that field. And with the camaraderie that you have as your brotherhood, built by and nurtured by our coaches, Jay Hill, it's unlike any other. So,
thanks for the time and best luck with everything, Cialek.
No, thank you so much.
Soft-spoken, but he's going to hit some people in the mouth, man. If you want more of our coverage of BYU football training camp, including segments breaking down the biggest storylines, interviews with coaches and players, it's on demand on our BYU Sports Nation YouTube channel.
Up next, a very special rise and shout out to a former Cy Young winner and new Hall of Fame inductee for a Major League Baseball franchise. How he's tied to BYU Athletics and more. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to the show with our question of the day. Where do you believe BYU football will be better this year than they were last season? It was an 11-2 squad.
Pretty good.
At Jacob G. Larkin on Instagram answers, quarterback. Whoa. Bears stats will look better in completion percentage and rushing yards.
That's what we hope. Jake actually had more rushing yards than you think. I want to say it's in the 400 space, so we'll say on that one.
At Coulter Gill, also on X, says, I hope that the quarterback to tight end connection is better where tight ends catch more passes, which BYU hasn't done a ton of in recent years.
We addressed this yesterday a little bit, Spence. We think that Carson Ryan is the guy that, and Aaron Roderick mentioned as much, can be on the field all the time to inline block, flex block, and actually go out and make plays in the passing game. So I think Carson Ryan's going to have a big year. I think he's waited for this, too. He hasn't had monster numbers at UCLA and Utah, but now he'll get to be tight end one somewhere.
31 catches as a group last year. Carson will have 31 all by himself.
Amen.
If not more.
I'll be shocked if he doesn't.
Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare, careers built for victory. From at KurtJB07 on X, says the running game. Bear is very mobile, and LJ is set to have a monster season.
LJ can help Bear the most. That's the guy, and Carson, frankly, and Chase Roberts. Of those three, if they have really good years, it's going to just make things way easier for one true freshman Bear Bachmeier.
Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Congratulations to a man who was one of the first famous athletes in pro sports representing the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They called him the Deacon in Pittsburgh, Vern Law. is going to be inducted into the Pittsburgh Pirates Hall of Fame. 1960 Cy Young winner, World Series champion. Back when they only had one Cy Young, not two for each league.
Even
they
tougher.
Called him the Deacon. Why was he not in the Pirates Hall of Fame?
Fun fact, I have a 1960 signed Pittsburgh Pirates baseball with Vern Law's signature.
What?
Oh, yeah. It's one of my cherished relics.
That's amazing.
One of my cherished relics.
I didn't know you had that. I'm going to steal it.
Got it from my dad who got it from his dad.
That's incredible.
Our thanks to today's guests, Kelly Papinga, Jack Kelly, Isaiah Glasker, and Ciele Acera.
Sorry to Dennis.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. And a special shout out to John Bridges. Go Cougs.